Senator Cory Booker with We're Not a Monolith. I'm Ike Rayford and
yes.
Shelby Pierce.
All right. Well, we're going to jump right in, Senator. First and foremost, why do you want to be president?
Well, very simply, I believe our nation is undermining its ability to achieve big things because we're tearing each other apart. We have a president right now who's a divider in chief, but it's not about him. It's really about us. This is a referendum on who we are and who we need to be to each other. And if I have my way and I'm the nominee and eventual president of the United States, I'm going to fight to do the things necessary to get big things done, which is putting more indivisible into this one nation under God.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I have been enjoying your... sounds kind of woo-woo, but your energy. So I actually have a friend that I text and I said, hey, we're talking to Cory Booker tonight. And she said, that man exudes love.
Oh.
She's like, and we need more people like that. So you're doing that.
I'm glad. That's the best compliment.
Yeah, we're really grateful. So tell me about what it means to put love into action and change that into actually healing our country.
I appreciate that. And so I would say love is action. It's an action verb, not a being verb. It's not emotion. It's not sentimentality. It is fearsome. We are here, the diverse trio that we are, because of the love of our ancestors that were willing to do Herculean things of sacrifice and service and struggle. That's what love is. And ultimately, as much as people might not put it this way, our nation was founded in the savage imperfections, but with the ideals that were bigger than the people that wrote them down on paper. And I mentioned earlier tonight about those last words of the Declaration of Independence, which says, you know, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. And so that is actually saying to give our best of ourselves to others that don't necessarily look like you, pray like you, but understanding we're all in this together and how that creates a change in our culture. You know, when they pulled Obamacare, mm-hmm. Republicans were dead against it.
Right.
When they pulled the constituent parts of Obamacare without that name, people were all for it.
Yes.
And this is so many of our policy issues. We are putting into partisan boxes and hating them just because of the box and not getting to the content inside. The leadership that we need in this country, and I say that plural leadership, not an individual leader. I'm not running to be savior. I'm running because I want to be a part of a larger movement to get us back to those ideals of love with a more courageous empathy, with more a revival of that civic grace, the kind of things that we need to do so we stop seeing those lines that divide us and start to affirm through our policies the urgent ties that bind us and how we're all in this together.
Absolutely. So, you know, you talked about those boxes as it relates to our you know, President Obama, and we also saw that, I believe, in my opinion, that, you know, people showed their true colors. Now we have you running for president. I mean, aren't you, you know, afraid that people are going to continue to show those true colors? And
Well, first of all, I just say this talking to two African-Americans. Hillary Clinton would have won if the African-American turnout, just black folk alone, came out at the same level that they did in 2016 as they did in 2012. Think about this. In the three states, in Michigan, Wisconsin, and Pennsylvania, we lost those states, the Democratic candidate, by about 77,000 votes. In Milwaukee alone, the activists were telling me they had about a 70,000 less African-American turnout than they did the before. And so I don't think this is an era where the racism is worse than it was before. It may be manifesting with more racially based attacks, but the kind of institutional racism I'm concerned about is in the criminal justice system or the fact that in the healthcare system where black women die at four times the rate of white women in postpartum. The racism that we see in employment where black women make a fraction of what white men make. These are the kind of issues that all Americans believe in, this, at least profess the ideals of basic fairness. And so I don't see this. I think actually the best person to win the presidency in the next election, doesn't need a black person, but it's got to be somebody that can speak to the lived experiences of the diverse nature of our party. And I know this, guys, because as a guy, as the only person in this election and the only person in the Senate lives in a black community. You know, I hear it in barbershops all the time. People are suspicious of the Democratic Party.
Okay. Well, that's exactly it. That's the question I have for you, too, is in a world where does my vote count, when we had the election, the way that it ran and Russian interference,
yes.
Knowing that that's there, that's the piece that I've been waiting for Democrats to really talk about is What about the electorate that's saying, I don't believe my vote counts?
Right, right. So first of all, we want to tell people that there is a reason to vote, that the leader, that leader or leaders we're looking to elect, that we can trust when they're in the room, that the doors are closed, policy is being made, that they are going to fight for the issues that are core to the challenges of every community in America. And I want to be very explicit before I get to the point about the Russian interference and the like. When I got to be the United States Senator in 2013, I got sworn in on October 31st, I walked around the Senate, used to poke my head into hearings, and didn't see African Americans on committee staffs,
right.
On, you know, things like the Judiciary Committee, couldn't find somebody. And I thank God Brian Schatz, the senator from Hawaii, and I went to Chuck Schumer and began to work with him to change something very simple. Get every Democratic senator to have to publish the diversity statistics on their staff.
Yeah.
Because most of us are people that get elected because of the diverse coalitions. And guess what happened as soon as people had to show transparency about how many blacks, Latinos, Asian Americans, women, mm-hmm. suddenly the numbers went up of the people right. hired in the rooms. So I just want folks to know that if you're listening to this, I can speak to the issues of our community because I've been living in our community, working on these issues, and everywhere I went, I've been carrying this fight. And I'm not saying other candidates can't, but I know that if I'm on the ballot, I can earn the trust of African-American communities to come out and vote, knowing that my history speaks to my future, the work that I've done. Now, the issue of the voter suppression, that our last election, literally, when I say African-Americans didn't turn out at the same rates in 16 as they turned out to 12, I'm not blaming that on Hillary. Folks were targeting African Americans
right.
with certain ads to try to suppress the vote,
yes.
Try to discourage people from coming out to vote. People were targeting our communities with voter suppression laws. And so I understand that people are frustrated, but my response, because this is not the first time I had this question, I turn to people sometimes and just say, look, when our parents' generation or grandparents, when they were trying to stop people to vote with like outright violence and
yeah.
tactics,
right.
Goodman, Cheney, and Schwerner like getting killed because
yes.
they were trying to register
yes.
people
right.
to vote, we didn't just say, oh, my vote's not going to count. We said, no, come on. We responded and fought back. How could our generation be so privileged that we
yeah.
think, oh, I'm just going to surrender to the
right.
to the cynicism of our time because, oh, they're going to not let my vote count. No, get up and fight because people
absolutely.
Fought to get you here. You're going
right,
to give
right.
John Lewis is in the Senate every day. I look at this man who was beaten more than anybody, I think, just about in the Civil Rights Movement on the Edmund Pettus
right,
Bridge.
Right.
That was a march for voting rights.
Yes.
So if that man's willing to get beat down and we're going to say we're not going to vote, which
right.
plays into the hands of the very people who don't want us to vote. They wouldn't be doing so much in states like Georgia to wipe roll, purge voting rolls,
yes.
to put up barriers. If they knew, didn't know that our vote, if we came out to vote, it would mean the demise
it
matters.
Yes.
So don't play into that. Don't
right.
don't be part of the that darkness. Bring your light. It always comes through action.
Right. Absolutely. that's deep. Trust. You mentioned that a few minutes ago. You know, in the black community, I mean, we get politicians who come, they go, they tell us what we want to hear, and then they go do something else. And I know you get to speak from a different place than
yeah.
that, but how do we trust? How do we know that it's going to be what you say it's going to be?
Well, so first of all, don't hold people to standards of perfection. We're all people in development.
Right.
And we have issues in our own communities that we... You know,
for sure.
yeah, I mean, there's incredible sexism in America
yes.
and in the black community. There is incredible homophobia in America, in the black community.
Do we want to talk about colorism real quick in the black community?
Yes. But seriously, we can have these
yeah.
conversations.
Right.
So don't
okay.
think that we're going to hold other people to a level of perfection that we are not manifesting ourselves. Now, I'm not, somebody can take that out of context because we all must, I don't care, just because I'm imperfect
right.
doesn't mean I should sanction your racism and your bigotry and the things you do. That's not what I'm saying. I'm simply saying that, look, let me use my own self, my own vulnerability. I became mayor of the city of Newark, and I was like, we have real problems. We're a black city. I'm a black mayor, third black mayor. We're gonna and started trying to reform my police department, all the things, but
right.
I wasn't doing enough. Hmm. Justice Department came in and investigated my police department and said, you got some serious problems here. I'm a black mayor. I didn't move our city fast enough on those issues. Now, we got our act together, started working with the ACLU and doing more stuff.
Right.
But heck, there's a report out there that shows under my leadership, we weren't doing everything as quickly and as right as we should have done. Now, are you going to hold that me to that standard of perfection? No. I learned, made changes, grew, and came to Senator as a champion for police accountability. I'm just saying that to say to you all that, look, trust is so important. One thing I've always loved about the black community is we are a forgiving people.
Yes.
And I've seen that when people come home from prison, when people mess up,
you know,
we extend grace in a way that I just have always admired that I've seen in Newark. Newark has tolerated my mess ups and still embraced me, helped rebuild me after my heart was heavy with shame and,
right.
and hurt. So I just want you to know that I'm running. I got into politics to fight for communities that are too often left out, looked down upon, and where we have reasons to be suspicious. But that should never stop us from extending trust again. And so I'm hoping that whoever our candidate is, I hope it's me, because I believe that whatever community there is, look, the AAPI community, Asian American community, is often overlooked. They're the fastest growing minorities that there are.
Absolutely.
You know, I can go through this. I believe, though, that I'm the best candidate in this field in terms of electability to appeal to the broadness of the Rainbow Coalition that is the Democratic Party and engage them. And I will never put myself before them as perfect, that I'm still a man in development, person in development, and that we all need to make sure we're helping each other and holding each other accountable as well. Because black folks, we should not be blindly loyal to even the people that are in office. We've got to be as demanding as Malcolm X was, as Martin Luther King were, to the legislative leaders. It may have been Democrats
or
were in their own party, but they still demanded that they be held accountable for the change that needed to be made.
I have to ask this. You know, obviously, impeachment is on the forefront. You are a senator. It's coming your way. How do you reach across that aisle and say to your fellow senators, i.e. Republicans, that we've got to hold someone accountable for their moral...
I'm just shaking my head. People can't see it on the podcast just because I think we are past the point where there's going to be anybody on the Democratic side that's going to persuade anybody on the Republican side. I just don't think... I'm not seeing it right now. I'm just not. People are digging in their heels. I think that this... I'm going to go and do my duty. I swore an oath to uphold the Constitution, and I'm going to swear another oath to be an unbiased juror. I'm going to do my duty. I'm going to make my vote. But it seems like Mitch McConnell's already lining up the situation where to get the 67 votes for removal when you've only got, you know, 47, I guess, Democrats, it's just – it's not – I just don't see that as something happening. I think Donald Trump will be the nominee in this next election, and we're going to have a candidate to beat them. Now, can I do something unorthodox here? I'd like to turn the tables on
you all. Absolutely.
Please.
I'd like to turn the tables on you.
Absolutely.
As you do not represent the any kind of hegemonic ideals within the black community, but
you are. Yes, we are not a monolith.
We are not a monolith. Yeah. I set you up for that one. Mm-hmm. I wonder about the African-American community that is growing more diverse. And I'm wondering about some controversial issues. Can we talk?
Absolutely.
Please.
So there's tensions between the black community that I didn't really see as much until this election. Like, for example, if I'm elected to the presidency, I'll be the first descendant of a slave ever to be in the White House.
Yeah.
And I didn't know until recently that there's lots of tension between black immigrants that and black descendants of slaves. Do you guys talk about those kind of schisms and the need to heal them as well?
So this is actually, it has been coming up because Sioux City is getting more diverse. We have quite a sizable Ethiopian, Somalian, Eritrean community.
Yes.
And so when you say black or African American, the definition is tricky. And and there is such a sense of ownership in the African American community that came from slaves to own that suffering and that shared heritage, that there is a little bit of a misunderstanding, I think, between the two communities. Because I think the immigrant communities are wanting to be a part of, and there's friction, there's pushback. And I think that it can be worked out, but we have to talk to one another and hear each other out.
Yes, yes.
See what that is. But yeah, there is a difference.
You know, speaking of that, I think some of those issues come back, and it goes all the way back. And I think when you talked about slavery, you know, sometimes we forget about that divide of house and field.
Yes.
And I think that when you think about that, that mentality is that, well, I'm in the house. Or, no one wants to say that they're in the field, but, you know, someone may see someone as in the field.
Right.
And then it's and next thing you know. So I believe that that has been created, and we've carried that in so many capacities, whether it be, you know, from an economic standpoint or whether it just be from, whatever. But we've carried that along, and I don't think we realize we carry that. So then it becomes this line that's drawn in. Well, you know, I got mine, so you got to get yours. And then it creates, you know, instead of, you know, back then they wanted a division. And now we are working so hard to not have that division. But, we don't have a common, I mean, Martin Luther King Jr. And Malcolm X, they tried to, you know, kind of bring that togetherness. But I think that we haven't had that one person to do that. And I don't know.
But is that a good thing?
I was just going to say, I don't even think it's one person. Isn't it on an individual basis deciding to hold yourself accountable to it? And I have a young woman in my life who is, she's very dark skinned, and we talk about colorism, and I did not under, so I'm mixed race, I'm fairly light skinned, and I have a personal reason that I always share that I'm mixed race, and that was because I was told I couldn't go to another school because of it. Different story. But what I didn't realize was that inside of the community, the belief that somehow light-skinned is better, and it's because of that young woman that, this is just a shift in the last year and a half, 2 years, that I always say I am a black woman.
Yes.
Because if there's anything, that privilege that I've got with my white skin, my light, whiter skin,
yes.
When it first came at me, I was like, I don't have that. What?
Yes.
And then I was like, oh, that's the thing. It's right there. Mm-hmm. And what is the way that I can be the ally? What's the way that I can be an ally? Not to separate, not to be a different part. We can get into the nuances of being mixed race and owning all of who I am and how precious that is. But as far as the fight of who we are, I think that's a really important thing to do and to stand together.
And it's powerful. I love that you bring the complexities of all this together. So I have two black parents,
mm-hmm.
but both my black parents are high yellow black folk. And I had this incredible experience. That it was How My Cup Runneth Over by Henry Louis Gates asking me to be on a show, Finding Your Roots.
Right.
And he tested my DNA and went back and he said to Corey, you hit the lottery with black people. It's very hard. African Americans from the slave, going back to slavery, is very hard to trace your roots because you wouldn't even get records past 1870. We weren't recording the sentences until 1870. And it just brought this tapestry of my life together where suddenly they literally tested my grandfather, who is biracial in terms of his parents, and they tested his DNA and found his white father.
Wow.
And I saw a picture of my grandfather's deceased, but white father. It's just this powerful realization that the tapestry of who I am is so much more complex, to the extent of another one of my grandfather's, on his mother's side, African-American mother, her grandmother was listed as mulatto on the slave records,
right.
Fought over by her slave master, who turns out that Skips discovers the slave master is the father. So I literally now, after this Skip Gates, he traces his ancestry back to coming to the United States from England on the white branches from 1640 to going back 2-3 generations into slavery. It is this unbelievable tapestry.
Yeah.
But so you get back to me, and my DNA is 47% black from African ancestry, 45% from European ancestry. And yet I'm like you, I'm a black man in America with all the complexity, all of the diversity that literally in the veins, the DNA of my body is the complicated, wretched history of our country living out, but springing forth from all of that, springing forth a fruit, I believe, like all of us are. But our ability, I think this is what was beautiful about what I found, what you said, and I know our time is now out, but the beauty of what you said is this idea of, and I'll use the word fealty, loyalty mm-hmm. to ideals of justice yeah. And understanding that we have to fight in a cause together. Angela Davis has said, the question isn't are you or are you not a racist? The question is racism exist? And if racism exists, then you must be an anti-racist. Right. You must be a part of the struggle. And so we could talk about these issues all day, but this is what I want to say to you. In a world where journalism is still not as diverse as it needs to be,
right.
We're in a presidential campaign. I don't often get interviewed by people of color. I just want to thank you on the journalistic side, where you're holding me accountable with tough questions and the like. I just want to thank you for being in the struggle and for bringing up complicated issues that are important to talk about but often don't get covered, and asking candidates like me those kind of questions. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks so much. It's been an honor to have you here. And thank great you. Conversation. Just let us know when you want to talk more.
I mean, would love it.
Yeah, absolutely. It's fine.
You got it. You got it. Thank you.
All right. Thanks.
Thank you.